This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the case as we have them for you right here. The courtroom now reconvening after lunch. Let's head there right now.
All right. I'm going to show you some images. I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit. What are we doing first? 163, 173, 158, 175, 176, 177, 179, 180, 181, and 183. And just have you generally flip through those and see if you recognize those images.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, and just generally, what are these images of, if you would?
Those are still images taken from my body-worn camera the day of the 8th.
So these are still images from the body-worn cameras that the jury saw prior to lunch?
That's correct.
All right, Your Honor, this time the state would move in States 163, 173, 158, 175, 176, 177, 179, 180, 181, and 183, I believe, without objection.
No objection.
Admitted.
All right, let's go through these real quick. We could, if I could get the input to the MO. Looks like it is on the MO. All right. We got this fancy hood up here. See if that'll do better for us. All right, can you tell me what this image is of, please? And this, for the record, my apologies, would be States 163.
That is a picture of the pool table in the gun room that with the 300 AR-15 300 blackout sitting on the pool table, which I collected out of the gun rack.
All right, and that person right there, who is that?
That is Mark Ball.
All right, I'm going to show the jury now 173. Tell me what this image is, please.
That is that AR-15 rifle 300 blackout sitting in the gun wall before it was pulled from the gun wall, placed on the table.
All right. Still image 158. Can you tell me what that is, please?
That is what I was describing as the side door, which enters to the gun room without going through the main part of the house. The stoop and out in front of that is where items were collected.
And what items are you talking about?
The 5 300 spent shell casings were collected out in front of the stoop.
All right. I'm going to go now to Exhibit 175, and what is that image?
That is the same side door, just a different angle. Same stoop.
All right. 176. Tell me what that is, please.
That is the brick landing at the bottom of the stoop. And just in the center, down low, close to the bottom, you can see a 300 spent 300 blackout casing.
What am I pointing out with my finger right now?
That is the spent 300 blackout casing.
All right. Exhibit number 177. Tell me what this still image from your body cam reflects.
That is my hand, and I have picked up a spent 300 blackout casing from the side of the stoop.
All right. 179.
Those are the three 300 blackout casings which were collected at the in front of the stoop.
All right. And now 180.
That is the left-hand side of the entrance of the gun room, just in the flower bed.
All right. And do we see cases in that image? You step down if you need to. I know your screen's pretty small. You need to step down. That's fine.
I can't pick it out on that picture.
All right. I'm going to hand you State's Exhibit 180 and see if you, you can make it out.
Yes, sir. It will be at the bottom of the picture, about in the center.
All right. Let me have you come around. Or you can do it. I'm going to put it back up and do it screen for the jury, please.
It would be right here.
All right. Sounds good. Can you retake the stand, please? All right. Moving on to 181. Tell the jury what this still image reflects, please.
That is three of the five 300 blackout spent casings that was collected at the base of this, at the front of the stoop.
All right. And then finally, jumping the gun, we have 183. Tell me what that reflects.
That would be to the, I believe, the right-hand side of the stoop, and just at the end of my hand, I'm fixing to pick up a spent 300 blackout casing.
What is my finger pointing to right there?
That is the 300 blackout casing, which I'm okay. talking about.
All right, thank you. Right before lunch, there was admitted in the evidence states 152 and 151, and you got your readers with you?
I do, yes, sir.
Can you remind us where those items were collected, please?
The ammo was collected from the shelving in the gun room, 300 blackout ammo, on 9/13 of 21. And the 300 blackout, the 243 magazine, 300 blackout ammo in it, was collected from a black Ford F-150 that was located on the property.
And you got a knife on?
I do, yes, sir.
You mind opening that exhibit for us? And let's take a look at those items, please.
Do you want me to open a brown bag also?
I do, please. Let's go ahead and do mess with that one first, if we could. Can you remove the item from its packaging, please?
It's a magazine which fits the AR style rifle that is loaded with 300 blackout ammunition.
All right, and can you see what brand that is on there? On the rounds that you can see?
Appears to be S&B 300 blackout.
S&B 300 blackout.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to take that item. I'm going to put this up on the screen for the jury. Okay. All right, go ahead and open the other one for me, please. 'Fore we move on, we're not pulling all the ammo out. Does this magazine appear to be relatively full?
It's pretty heavy, so it's pretty full.
All right. Let's get it. Go ahead and just put that one back for me, please. And go on to the next one.
Bottom of the bag.
Right. What you got in there?
This is another magazine that fits the AR style rifle. It's loaded with 300 blackout.
Can you tell the particular brand of that 300 blackout?
It's head stamp S&B 300 blackout.
Yeah. Let me go put that up on the screen for the jury. Real quick before you put it back, is that we're not taking all the bullets out or cartridges out? Does that appear to be fairly well loaded?
It's got some weight to it. It feels like it's fairly loaded.
All right. If you can return that to his bag, please. And then put those back in the box of that thing. We've been talking about guns for a while. Let's talk about something else for a minute, and then we'll get back to guns. You got it back?
Yes, sir.
All right. Going back to June 8th, 2021, were you present when any efforts were made to collect the cell phone belonging to Maggie Murdoch?
Yes, sir, I was.
All right. And who all were you present with when that happened? And just kind of describe the events as they took place, please.
It was myself, Special Agent McAllister, Captain Ryan Neal, Dylan Hightower. There was one or two more people there, but I don't recall.
Okay. And ultimately, was that phone located?
The phone was located a short distance from the crime scene.
All right. And where was it just generally?
If you would come out of 41, out of the driveway of the residence, take a right on Moselle Road, quarter mile, half mile, I don't recall the exact distance, on the left-hand side of the road, kind of in the grass area.
When y'all found it, what happened then? Who picked it up? Who collected it? What happened to it at that point?
Captain Neal picked it up. Special Agent McAllister held it in her hand while a picture was taken of it, gloved hand. We were given the passcode to the phone. Passcode was entered into the phone just to verify that it would work, it would unlock. And it did work. It did unlock. It was immediately shut, locked back. And then passcode was written on a sticky note. It was packaged and ultimately turned over to crime scene.
Okay, and you were there when all that happened, is that correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Aside from the things y'all just described, was it otherwise manipulated or tampered with or changed in any way?
No, sir, it was not.
All right. I'm going to show you what's been previously marked for identification at this time as Exhibit 204 and have you just take a look at that and see if you recognize that item.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, tell me what that item is.
This is the phone that was recovered on the side of the road belonging to Miss Maggie Murdoch.
The one you just described?
Yes, sir, it is.
The one that was secured by Captain Neal?
Yes, sir, it is.
And then turned over to crime scene?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, put that in if you will. Oh, just real quick. All right, at this time, Your Honor, we would move Exhibit 204 into evidence, I believe, without objection. Okay. All right. Let me ask you this question. Do you know a guy by the name of John Bedenfield?
Yes, sir, I do.
And is that somebody you knew before this case?
Yes, sir, it is.
And how do you know him, just generally?
John grew up in Ball, just like myself. He actually has a son that's the same age as my son. They went to school together, played ball together. I've known John for a number of years.
And what does John do for a living, do you know?
He is a DNR officer.
All right. And does he have a side business?
He does.
And just generally, what does that side business do?
He's got a gun business where he builds, works on firearms.
Okay. And prior to this case ever happening, did you ever have any conversation with John Bedenfield about whether or not he had assembled any guns for Alec Murdoch?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. And is that something that you knew prior to this case ever taking place?
Yes, sir, it is.
After this case took place, well, let me ask you this. Did you know what ammunition was used by those guns that were assembled by John Bedenfield for Alec Murdoch?
Yes, sir.
And what ammunition was used in those
guns? You're saying.
Response.
Yes, not all for the truth of the matter asserted this time, but effect on the listener for his actions.
Anything further?
It's still hearsay, and I'm not sure what his actions are in response to the hearsay. I mean, he's asking questions about what he learned well before these crimes.
Objections overruled. And so what was the ammunition in the guns from what John Bedenfield told you?
The guns were built and chambered for 300 blackout.
All right. As this case developed, did that that prior fact that you knew, did that cause you to take any actions?
Yes, sir, it did.
And tell me what actions you took in based on that prior knowledge you had.
I contacted John Bedenfield and asked him if he could provide me with paperwork for the weapons that was purchased by Mr. Alec Murdoch.
All right. And was that after these particular crimes that took place?
That was after, yes, sir.
All right. You remember roughly when that was?
It was within a day or so that I talked to him, yes, sir.
All right. And did he ultimately provide you some paperwork?
Yes, sir, he did.
Was that the only conversation you had with John Bedenfield about the 300 blackouts that he built for Alec Murdoch?
No, sir, it was not.
Was there a subsequent conversation?
Yes, sir.
Did you call him back or did he call you back?
I called him back and then to require of a potential additional 300 blackout that was purchased by and paid for by Miss Maggie Murdoch.
Okay. So you called him with an inquiry, is that correct?
That is correct.
Tell me what your inquiry was to John Bedenfield after he initially provided you some paperwork.
I'm sorry, sir. I couldn't hear you.
Sorry. Turned away.
That's okay.
Tell me what your specific inquiry was to John Bedenfield that second time when there was a subsequent conversation.
The second time that I talked to John was to inquire about whether or not he built a third 300 blackout to replace a gun that Paul had misplaced or had gotten stolen earlier in 2017.
All right. And in response to that inquiry, did John Bedenfield provide you some additional paperwork?
Yes, he did.
All right. I'm going to show you what's been marked as standby for me real quick. All right, I'm going to show you what's been marked, and this time for identification only, states 247. Stand by for me, Mr. Correct. All right, and I'm going to ask you to look at what's been marked for identification only this time as Exhibit 247 and see if you recognize that paperwork.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, and just again, without describing the contents, tell the jury what this paperwork is, please.
It's a copy of cancel checks and copy of the sale of firearm.
All right, and this was documentation that was provided to you in response to your inquiries to John Bedenfield?
That is correct.
And who gave this documentation to you?
John Bedenfield.
All right, I'm going to, again, without going into the contents, look at the second page. And tell me, is that the document that was provided in response to your second inquiry when you called him back about a third blackout?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, thank you. Okay. Show you two exhibits. I'm going to show you what's been marked in States Exhibit 162 first, and it's a disc, and see if you recognize that particular exhibit, please.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, tell me what that exhibit is.
That is a disc from, or excuse me, a video from my body-worn camera of collection of shell casings.
All right, and does it have a date on when that occurred on it?
6/16/2021.
All right, so this is different from what we've already talked about, is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, and then I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 248 and see if you recognize that particular exhibit.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, and is that additional body cam footage from that search on 6/16/21?
That is correct.
All right, Your Honor, at this time, I would move both Exhibits 248 and 162 into evidence and leave without objection.
Correct, Your Honor.
Admit it.
All right, so got a search on 6/16/21. Can you tell the jury a little bit about that search, how it came to pass, what was going on, and then we'll get to the footage as to what occurred.
Okay. During the investigation process, we learned that there was a shooting range and some bodies of water on the property. And when I say on the property, it's across the road from the incident location. through discussion with the investigative team, it was decided that we needed to go over to that shooting range and also search that body of water for any potential evidence that may be found.
And this shooting range, that was still part of the Murdoch property at Moselle, is that correct?
That is correct. It was would be kind of diagonal to your left from where the kennels were at.
All right. And the information received was that the family used that as a shooting range?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Let me show you quickly. Go ahead and just quickly show you these. Show you what's been marked as exhibits 184, 185, and 186, and see if you recognize those.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, and tell me what those are generally, please.
One is the picture of the shoot house. The other is the picture of the inside of the shoot house. And then the third picture is a picture of the area next to the waterway where we collected some items.
All right, Your Honor, this time I would move exhibits 184, 185, and 186, state's exhibits in evidence, I believe, without objection.
No objection.
Good. All right, very quickly, just put this up on the screen. 184, again, tell the jury what that is, please.
That is what I'm describing as a shoot house. It has a bench inside where you would set up to shoot targets out in front.
All right, 185, what does that represent, please?
That is on the inside of the shoot house, the chair, the stand where you would sit, and obviously the rail where you would rest your weapon.
All right, what are these little shiny things on the floor there?
That's brass from firearms that's already been fired.
All right, and is that how the scene looked when you found it?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, and then finally, 186, what does that represent?
That is two 12-gauge spent shotgun shells that was collected over near the waterway behind where we had set our dive trailer up.
All right. Could I have the inputs changed to the video, please? All right. This time, I'm going to play Exhibit 162. For the record, I'm going to fast forward it to about 43 seconds into the video. Observed it?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. I'm now at 1 minute and 19 seconds, and I have it paused, but tell me, what is this thing right here that's kind of up on the counter of that shooting house?
That would be a rest that you would put your rifle in when you're sighting it in or shooting downrange at targets, right, to help stabilize it.
All right, when you're sighting it in, just real quick, explain with the jury what you're trying to do when you sight in a rifle that you would use that rest for.
When you're zeroing your rifle, whether it be 100 yards, 200 yards, you want to hold a rifle as still as possible, obviously. You would have a target downrange at whatever distance you're sighting it in at. You would fire one, two, three rounds, and then you would adjust your optics and continue till you get it zeroed to where you want it.
And zero means the shooting where you're aiming?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Ultimately, and I'm going to fast forward through a fair amount of this, but ultimately, after seeing those cases on the floor, did you see any 300 blackout that you recognized just looking down were 300 blackout?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right. And did you send Special Agent David Owen to go get some envelopes so you could collect those?
Yes, sir, I did.
And ultimately, did you collect about 17 S&B cases at that location?
Yes, sir, I did.
We'll hold it.
For the record, I'm at 11 minutes and 3 seconds in the video.
Yeah. And what is it?
300.
300 blackout?
Mm-hmm. And staff is S&B.
Okay.
300. AACBLK.
What are you reading out right there?
I'm reading the numbers, the identifiers off the head stamp of the shell casing.
All right. Moving now to
Sheet 1207. S&B, 300. AAC, be okay.
Same ammunition?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to move now. Same thing?
Yes, sir, it is.
Also near the right leg of the shoot deck. Above the chair. AAC, be okay.
Same thing?
Yes, sir, it is.
Moving to 1619.
S&B, 300. Blackout, AAC, be okay.
Same thing?
Yes, sir, it is.
Moving to 1721. Check that, 1717.
Be okay, 300 blackout.
A little too far. Let's back up to 1712.
S&B, 300. AAC, be okay, 300 blackout.
Yes, sir, it is.
Moving now to 1800, about 18 minutes even.
300 blackout, we'll do the AAC. Okay. S and B. We have a blackout. It'll be the AAC. Do you hear okay?
Yes, sir, it is.
Between the table leg and the wall of the shootout.
Now we're in 1847.
It's going to be S and B. 300 blackouts could be 300 AAC. B-L-K.
Same thing?
Yes, sir.
Moving now to 2221. Excuse me,
2216. Stand S&B, 300, AAC,
okay. Same thing?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay.
2309. That'll be S&B, 300 blackout.
Yes, same thing?
Yes, sir, it is.
Moving up to the right front.
Now we're at 2356.
Up to shoot out. That'll be S and B. 300 blackout,
it's back to
300
AAC.
Okay.
Same thing?
Yes, sir, it is.
And then the 2452.
S and B, 300 blackout. AAC, be okay.
Same thing?
Yes, sir.
I'll have to go get some more envelopes at this point.
I think that's what we just went to do.
Right, I'm going to move it forward. All right, we're at now at 2802.
S and B, 300 blackout, 300 AAC, BLK.
Same thing?
Same thing, sir.
Forward.
We're now at 2908.
That's one. This is S&B, 300 blackout, AAC, BOK.
Same thing?
Same thing, sir.
Now we're at 3027.
Okay. S and B. 300 blackout. AAC. BLK.
It's the same thing, sir.
Now we're at 3132.
Okay, S&B. Okay. 300 blackout. AAC, be okay.
Same thing?
Yes, sir, it is.
S&B. All right.
Now we're at
3216.
S&B. 300
blackout. 300
AAC.
Same thing?
Yes, sir, it is.
Almost done.
Table.
Now we're at 3332.
In front of the chair. Okay. Yes, indeed. AAC, be okay. 300 blackout.
Same thing?
Yes, sir, it is.
Going to be in front of the shooting chair. We're now at 3428 on the table. Rest and deep. We're going to block out. 8-8.
Same thing.
Yes, sir, it is.
You participated in multiple searches at various locations on the Murdoch property at Moselle Road, is that correct?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you repeatedly find S&B 300 blackout ammunition, both fired and unfired, at various locations throughout that property?
Yes, sir, I did.
Do one more very quick one, and this will be Exhibit 248. And I'm going to fast forward. To about 102, and I've got it paused, but tell us generally where we are and what we're seeing here again, please, if you would.
This location is going to be between where the shoot house was located and the body of water that was there. It's where we had our dive trailer set up and table set up with a shade so that we could actually get out of the weather if we needed to.
And are you collecting any items here?
Yes, sir, I am.
And what are you collecting?
Spent 12-gauge shotgun shells.
All right, I'm going to let that play for a second. And we're at... For the record, we're at 24 seconds in.
Hold that. All right, let's see.
Seconds. I'm going to show you again what's been marked as States Exhibit 21. And are there, in fact, shotgun shells present in there?
There is.
Right. And where were those collected from, those red shotgun shells?
It's depicted on the video on the Murdoch property right near the waterway.
All right.
At the shooting range.
Some of the things that you did in this case, and you've told this jury that a primary focus that you had here because of your general knowledge of firearms was to gather that type of evidence. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
But you also participated in interviews in this case as well, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
You talked about interviewing Rogan Gibson. You talked about interviewing John Bedenfield, right?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Did you interview the defendant or participate in an interview of the defendant?
Yes, sir, I did.
You remember what day that was that you participated in an interview with the defendant?
I don't remember the actual date.
Let me show you Exhibit 243 and see if you recognize this exhibit.
Okay. Yes, sir, I did.
All right. And what is that disc?
This is a recorded interview which was conducted with Alex Murdoch on 6-10 of 2021.
Right. Are your initials on this desk?
They are.
Jim. Your Honor, this time we would offer an evidence States Exhibits 243, I believe, without objection.
Objection. I knew it.
All right, let's play the video.
Stand right quick while there.
May I judge? No,
that's sure. Just do a quick bit of housekeeping. You talked earlier about your inquiries to John Bettenfield about the 300 blackouts. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
And I want to show you what's been marked for ID only 245 at this time and see if you recognize that document. You pull it out of sleep.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. And without going into the contents of that document, where did you get that particular document?
I received this document from John Bettenfield.
As part of the inquiries that you earlier described to the jury?
That is correct.
All right. I'll take that off. The interview of the defendant on June 10th, 2021, where did that take place?
It was in Senior Special Agent David Owens's patrol vehicle in the yard of Mr. John Marvin Murdoch's hunting lodge.
Your Honor, this time we're going to play Exhibit 243, the second interview of Alec Murdoch.
Can I take this call really
yes,
quick?
Sir, go right
this
ahead.
Is my sister-in-law,
yes, go ahead.
And she's trying to. Hey, Mary. Okay, Lynn, I meet with law. I mean, Mary, when I meet with law enforcement, so I'll call you in just a minute.
I don't have a car. That's not.
Did Chelsea call you? Okay. Can you let Chelsea know and then make her run Lynn down? Okay, well, tell her to go get Christy to find Lynn. Get any one of the secretaries to find her. All right. Thank you. Sorry to put that on you.
That's all right. One thing I want to do before we start is I'd like to get a cell phone exam so we can just corroborate everything. Let me get a consent, and I got a guy here that's going to do it.
Are you going to download it now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great.
So I'll get to keep my phone?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that was there to download Alex's phone? Do you remember?
Dylan Hightower with the 14th Circuit Solicitor's Office.
He works with the 14th Circuit Solicitor's Office?
That is correct.
At that point in time, that was the prosecutor's office in charge of the case?
That is correct.
It was not until August that the case got sent to the Attorney General's office?
That is correct.
How much attorney-client privilege stuff is on there?
A lot.
Okay. We do have a taint attorney that's going to examine it before we ever do.
What is a taint attorney?
A taint attorney. They look at somebody who's not affiliated with the case that makes sure that there's... Jim, do you know? Can you explain it better?
Sure. And I mean, it's a privilege attorney that doesn't... If there is attorney-client privilege information, it's redacted or extracted by the taint attorney.
How do they know who's the client?
I know.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know what?
But
if y'all get some attorney client stuff,
you know, would go through me. And
so, signature.
Just write your name here.
So, Alec, I've had situations where...
It's not a big deal.
Give me a list of all his clients or something like that. You know, but
a lot of rest.
Yeah. I think the big thing, Joe, is, I mean, when you download that phone, I don't know if emails come with it or not, because that's probably where all this attorney-client privilege stuff.
And we can actually isolate the emails.
Yeah, that's probably. You don't text my clients, but.
No, I do. I text a lot of clients.
Okay.
I'm not a big emailer.
Is that at 11 or 12, or do you know?
I do not know. Okay.
I can tell you that case story if you want me to. Look at the back, you should have a number.
Yeah, what was your date of birth again?
2768.
And last.
So you don't get old.
Seven.
You get the
7483, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Doesn't the same thing on it.
No, most of the new ones don't.
Probably have to open it up. Oh, well, this guy.
Jim, you want to witness that for me, please?
And if you got a passcode or.
My passcode is
right on there.
Start at the bottom 9, go up 9669.
9669.
Yes, sir.
All right, let me run this film over right back.
Where are you from, sir?
I'm actually from Barnwell.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, sir.
I got some cousins in Barnwell.
I got people in Barnwell too. Mixon.
Mixon Oil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my.
You kin to Dickie Mixon?
I don't know. You know, that Mixon Oil is my Uncle Ray Mixon, and his son Teddy and Bobby and a bunch of them. Then
you know,
Freddie Mixon.
I knew Freddie Mixon very well.
Yeah, and his wife Ella and Jill.
Mr. Freddie goes to Elko Church.
Yeah. Not anymore, he did.
I mean, he went.
Well, he did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was at his funeral. He had a Tiger Paul casket at the funeral. He's a big Clemson guy.
You know Big John Bedingfield, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I know John.
That's my cousin.
Okay.
Who was he just talking about right there?
John Bedingfield, the DNR officer, who is also the one that built the AR-style rifles, 300 blackout for him.
And Sweet Caroline?
John's
son and my son are the same age. They were in school together.
So you grew up in Vaughn?
Yes, sir. All
right, sir. So he's got it and he's taking care of that.
But I get it back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, sir. So when we spoke the other night, I got kind of a basic overview.
Yes, sir.
And it was pretty traumatic.
That's okay. You need to ask me. You asked me what you need to.
So I want you to, let's start Monday morning and take me through your day.
Monday morning, my wife and my older son had gone to the baseball games that weekend. I really can't remember what I did Monday. I know I went to work, but I think I was dragging a little bit from the weekend, but I went to work. I usually mess around on my farm and then I go to work. I was at work.
Were you at the office in Hampton? Or?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. So I was at my office in Hampton. I was just at my office doing
legal work.
Yes, sir. I'm sure I can go back and probably recreate some specifics if you need me to, but I can't sit here and recall on the top of my head exactly what I was working on. I know one thing I was working on was we had some big motions coming up in a Dominion Energy case. I was getting ready for those. And I was getting ready for some motions. I'm a defendant in a civil case involving my son. I told you about the boat wreck.
Yes, sir.
And there were some motions coming up in that on Thursday. And I was mostly just getting ready for those things. Okay. And then
this was in response to a question as to what he was doing the day of the murders.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
And he said he was working on some motions in the Dominion Energy case and then also where he's personally a defendant in the boat case. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's what he said he was doing the day of the murders. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
Thank you.
Other jump.
What time did you leave the house to go to the office?
I'm not sure.
Who all was at the house when you left?
To go to my office that morning?
Or when you got up, who was at the house?
I'm sure my wife was, and I can't remember if Blanca had made it out there yet or not.
And who is Blanca?
Blanca is our housekeeper.
Okay.
And she comes different. She doesn't have set hours, but she comes most days. She'll be able to tell you if I was there when she left or not. Okay. I can't remember.
And so you went to the office, you did? Some motions. What time did you leave the office?
What was the name of the housekeeper?
Blanca.
Yeah. When she left or not. Okay. I can't remember.
And so you went to the office, you did, some motions. What time did you leave the office?
I left a little bit earlier than normal because my son Paul was coming home.
Okay.
Because he had not been with us during the weekend. And he was coming home. We were going to replant some sunflowers the next day.
Okay.
And so he was calibrating, doing and getting everything ready. So he got home a little early. I left a little early so he and I could knock around, and we knocked around for, just doing things we like to do out there. Okay. Riding around looking at food plots, looking for hogs, a little bit of target shooting, just bullshit.
Yeah. You said Paul wasn't with you over the weekend. Where does he live with you at the house on Moselle?
Well, that's his home, but he has an apartment in Columbia.
Okay.
And he goes to Charleston a lot of weekends with his buddies.
Okay.
And he had been in Charleston for the weekend.
Okay.
And then Paul works for my brother John. That's out here. You met John.
Yes, sir.
So Paul works for him. So Paul decided to go to, he went to spend the night with my brother, his Uncle John. They were very, very close.
Okay.
Sunday night.
Okay.
And then he worked for John Marvin, and he came home Monday afternoon.
Okay.
Just real quick, Alec Murdoch told you that he left work a little earlier than normal. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's what he said.
And one of the things he told you is they were riding around looking for hogs. Is that right?
Looking for hogs, yes, sir.
Do people often use 300 blackout to shoot hogs?
They do.
About roughly what time in the afternoon?
You know, I would think it'd be somewhere in the 5 o'clock range, a little bit. It was broad daylight when we were. It wasn't dusk, dark, or late.
Okay.
You know, and we rode. We just rode around. We rode around our dove field looking at how the corn was doing. He and I had planted corn in the dove field, and he planted the corn in the duck pond, and he was, you know, showing me how much better his corn was doing than mine was. And we rode around the duck pond. I mean, we just, you know, we rode the property.
Yes, sir.
You know, we rode the property. Then, you know, I mean, we rode around so much. We just rode.
Okay.
Probably. It was a good little while. It was more than 20 minutes, or 30 minutes. Okay. And, you know, was it 2 hours? I don't know. I'd say it was more than an hour, probably.
Really wasn't keeping track of time.
And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't getting dark. Mama wasn't home yet. She had gone to a doctor's appointment.
Just out of curiosity, target practice, what gun shooting?
Just a little bottle. You give me what gun?
Yeah.
A 22 okay. Magnum.
Rat shot.
It wasn't rat shot. I think he shot two times and I shot one time.
Okay.
He told you that they shot just a couple of times, the target shooting at a bottle, 22 Magnum. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And is 22 Magnum, is that a very small round, or is that a much larger rifle round like 300 Blackout?
That is a small round.
22 is about as small as it comes.
They make them smaller, but it is small.
Okay.
So after y'all got finished riding around, try to take me through the rest of the evening.
All right. You know, at some point we were all back at the house together.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie had gotten home, and, you know, we sat down and we ate supper, which we usually eat supper together. The one thing I remember, I don't know how much detail y'all want, so if I start talking about something that you don't need, just tell me, and I'll move to something else.
The more detail, the better, sir.
So Paul has been having high blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
and his mama was worried sick about it. So we were actually, you know, this was a direct thing, getting him, he doesn't like to go to doctors, making him go get his blood pressure checked. His feet had swollen up recently.
Wow.
So, you know, it was a big, huge deal.
Okay.
You know, we hung around the house for a little while. I know that Maggie went to the kennels. I don't know exactly where Paul went, but he left the house too.
Okay. How did Maggie get down to the kennels?
I don't know exactly. But on normal occasions, she would drive a buggy, drive a four-wheeler, or very common for her to walk.
Okay. How about Paul?
Paul wasn't much of a walker, but he would use all of the others.
Okay.
But it could be anyway, okay. You know? I don't know exactly. I wish I could help you with that.
So they left and went down to the kennels?
Well, Maggie went to go to the kennels.
Okay, Paul left.
And I'm assuming Paul left
okay.
because of, you know,
gotcha.
What happened? I mean, I'm assuming Paul went to the kennels.
Okay. And what did you do once Maggie and Paul left?
I stayed in the house.
What did he tell you he did after Maggie and Paul went to the kennels?
He stayed in the house.
I mean, I'm assuming Paul went to the kennels.
Okay. And what did you do once Maggie and Paul left?
I stayed in the house.
Okay.
And I was watching TV, looking at my phone, and I actually fell asleep on the couch.
Okay. And what time did you...
You know, I don't know exactly what time I woke up, but when y'all get my phone, you know, I think one of the first things I did when I got up was call Maggie,
mm-hmm.
because I was going to my mom's.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I texted her because I checked my phone. And what time did we say the text was, Jim? Like 9:06.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I got it written down from the other night.
I showed you the other night,
yes,
didn't I?
Yes, sir. I got this.
So, you know, I texted her. So I called her just before that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, she didn't answer at that point. And I left to go to my mom's.
Okay.
Y'all just have to look. I'm not sure if I called Paul.
Well,
or not.
And that's why we're getting the phone so we can nail down the times and
right.
and everything.
So I left, drove. Well, you know, I'm gonna tell y'all this, even though I think it's kind of crazy. You know, I was certain that I heard them pull up. I mean, I was positive that I heard, and people don't just come out there. You know, we don't get like pass through. I was certain that I heard them pull up, but they didn't.
Okay.
Friend had told you that he thought he heard somebody pull up, but they didn't?
Yes, sir.
And that was before, according to him, he left the house. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Well, if you heard something pull up, what did it sound like?
You know, I can't tell you what it sounded like. I just know that I thought that my wife had pulled up, Paul had pulled up.
Would it have been the buggy that she normally drives, or would it be a car?
No. I had the impression that a car pulled up.
Okay.
You know? And
had you woken up by that time, but hadn't left for your mom's?
Yep.
Okay.
But it wasn't much time in between there, because mm-hmm. I left pretty damn close. It wasn't much time between me waking up and me leaving the house.
Okay.
And when I went outside, you know, there's a cat, a wild cat that lives around that house. I'm pretty sure it was the cat that ran from my car, but, you know, I never had the impression it was a person, but there was something.
Okay.
You know?
At this point, the defendant tells you something about a wild cat running. He wasn't sure if it was a person.
Yes, sir. That's what he says.
But I really don't think, you know, I'm just throwing that out there because it was in my mind.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
All right.
That's totally fine.
I left. I drove to my mom's. I checked on my mom.
She lives right out here, correct?
She lives at Alameda. Okay. Checked on my mom. Talked with Shelly for a few minutes. You know?
Shelly is?
The caregiver.
Okay.
You know, I know that I called some people on the way there. I know I returned a call from my brother John. I know that I called Chris Wilson. I know that I talked to Buster. So I made a few phone calls.
Okay.
And
where was Buster?
Buster was in Rock Hill.
Okay. Is that where he lives, or?
No, he lives in Columbia, but he just started a new job. He's going back to law school in January.
Okay.
So he's working a little part-time job with Wild Wings.
Okay.
Through January.
Gotcha.
You know, just kind of killing time. And he was in, his girlfriend lives in Rock Hill. She's studying for the bar exam. So he had to be in Charlotte. So he was staying with her in Rock Hill, her and her mom.
Okay.
Can I open this door?
Yes, sir. So,
all right, so where are we? All right,
you,
so then
you,
I
you left your mom's and making phone calls.
I left my mom's and I went back home. I got to the house. I went inside. Nobody was there. I got in the car. I went back to the kennels and, you know.
And when you went back to the kennels, besides Maggie and Paul, Did you see anybody, any cars?
I didn't see anything right then, no, sir.
Take your time.
You know, I saw Maggie and I saw Paul laying down. I knew, you know, I didn't know, you know, I knew it was bad. I went over there and, you know, I saw it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I called 911.
Okay. And, yeah, what made you decide to go back to the house and get a gun?
I just think the whole scene had me freaked out.
Okay. Did you take your car back up there, or did you run up there?
No, I drove.
Okay.
How did Alec Murdoch say he went back to the house after finding Maggie and Paul to go to supposedly go get a gun?
He drove.
And, of course, the shotgun that we have is the one you brought back.
They were asking me earlier. I'm not sure which one it was.
Jim, it was a 12 gauge. I know, yeah, Ronnie had a question. If it was 12 or 20, it was a 12 gauge.
And it was that camo, though.
Yes, sir. I think it was the 12 camo Benelli.
Benelli.
I
think so. But that's about all you got, Benelli, out there, right?
And we talked about this a little bit the other night, too. I know Paul had been getting some threats and getting some being assaulted from, you know, the boat. Who stands out in your mind, besides the boat incident, who stands out in your mind that would want to come after Paul and or Maggie?
I mean, sir, I can't think of anybody who would want to go to that extreme. You know, I mean, he got a bunch of threats, mostly from, you know, I mean, I have no idea.
How would he receive most of those threats?
What do you mean?
I mean, would people call and hang up on them, or
no,
send text,
no,
or
it wasn't
social
so much
media?
That. No, it was mostly like in-person confrontations are the ones that I learned about. Now, I suspect his friends can probably tell you about more, because I doubt Paul told me about all of them.
Okay.
But I knew about a lot of them. You know, there were a lot of times where people would come up to him and he'd be like, they'd say something about, you know, you gonna tell me who was driving that boat, or you little piece of shit, were you driving that boat? You know, stuff like that.
Okay. Who did you go to Charleston with in the boat that weekend?
I don't know exactly. I know that, I mean, I know who his buddies are, but specifically who was on the boat with him, I'm not sure.
Okay.
You know, but I can give you a list of names of who it probably was.
So, Joe, I don't know if you want me to weigh in here, maybe put your pens down, but a good buddy of mine's son went fishing with me yesterday out in the ocean, and he has a best friend, and his dad's name is Lee Chapman, but
yeah,
the kid said, Lee's son said, that Paul slept on his couch in Charleston two nights before he was murdered. So it's Lee Chapman's son. I can give his name. You probably know Lee's son. I don't think, but he goes with Sizzle, but that's where Paul was.
Okay.
And I learned that yesterday out on a fishing trip, which is, I have to say.
Well, cool. I mean, yes, sir, if you could get me Lee Chapman's son's contact information.
There was a bunch of Chapman cousins that Paul was very close with, the closest one being Wills Chapman and Frank Chapman.
Wills Chapman is his name, but I'll get you a number
for him. Frank is John Chapman's son, and Wills is Lee Chapman's son.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where you want.
And those boys are, you know, they're just really good boys and friends of Paul's.
And one of them is Wills with an S, right?
That's right.
And Wills goes to the Citadel, that's your understand?
No, he's graduated from the Citadel.
Graduated from the Citadel.
And Frank was in the Citadel, but I think he had some kind of, you know, okay, academic troubles. But I mean, I'm telling you now, I can promise you that, I mean, those boys love Paul. Well, it's absolutely.
Well, you know, I just want to talk to them about their weekend. And,
sure.
Yeah.
I can tell you this, in riding around with Paul, he was his normal bright, you know, just, he was a really great kid.
So, being a dad myself, what was the biggest issue you had with Paul when you had to call him down and scold him or correct him? What was the biggest issue you had with Paul?
You know, irresponsibility. You know, he was ADHD. He was bad about jumping from, and he had so many wonderful qualities now, mm-hmm. but he was bad about jumping from. He'd start this, maybe not quite finish it, move, do something else. And, you know, you'll find out from his friends, he had clothes strung out all over the state. He did that with clothes. He did that with guns. He did that with my boats.
Awesome.
So.
He lost what?
He would misplace stuff. Or okay. Leave stuff behind, right?
Yes, everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, he would go off for the weekend. Sometimes he wouldn't pack clothes because he's got clothes in somebody's house. I mean, Paul was one. He wouldn't understand how you go out, you know. You and a girl go out on a date. He liked the crowd.
And who was his girlfriend?
He didn't have a girlfriend right now.
Okay.
Alex, last time I talked to him about 2 weeks ago, although we texted, he was going to Greenville for a weekend. He had friends up there. Girlfriend up there?
No, we had a family. We had a family thing in Greenville, and he came up on. He came up. Paul didn't play golf. He came up on Friday and stayed Saturday, and then he left to go to Charleston, and we were stayed another day to play golf. My niece on my wife's side is having a baby, and we went up for that.
And you said on Monday Maggie had a doctor's appointment in Charleston. None of we talked about this on Monday. Do you recall the doctor that she went to or for what the reason was?
Maggie had a couple little things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think she was going to see Dr. Gordine, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's who it was. I can find out specifically, though. Her mom will know.
Okay. And you said she and Buster were at the ball games all weekend?
Yes.
Or that
with me.
With you? And what ball games?
Carolina Regional.
They didn't make it past those, did they?
No.
Okay. Paul was in Charleston, so he didn't hang out with y'all that weekend.
No, sir.
And what time did Maggie get back home Monday night?
It was after Paul and I had gone. She was not there when Paul and I left to go mess around.
Okay.
So, you know, it was sometime after that. So there was a point when, you know, she got back, we got back.
When y'all got back from riding around and messing around on the farm, was she home or?
Yes.
Okay.
Defendant told you that Maggie was home when they got back from riding around the property. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
So, and I don't believe she'd been home too long when.
And what's her car? That Mercedes that's out there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you said Bianca had prepared dinner that night.
Yeah, Blanca. Cooked dinner that night because Maggie cooks, you know, when the boys are home, or she tries to really for me, but she wasn't going to be there that day, so she had Blanca cook a meal.
How is your relationship with Maggie?
Very good. good as it could possibly be. I mean, you know, we had our issues, but wonderful.
And I'm just trying to understand the family dynamic.
I understand you got to do what you got to do. I promise.
What was y'all's biggest arguments? What your biggest argument, the things that y'all would argue about the most, what would they be over?
I mean, we really didn't argue, but the basic, I'd say the really the only thing that caused any friction between us is she was always wanting us to go. And I love her in-laws. I mean, they're wonderful people. I love her to death. She was always wanting to go there, stay there a little longer than me and the boys wanted to stay. That was really, and it really, you know, she'd get ticked off.
Yeah.
You mean her family? You said her in-law. You mean her family?
I mean her family. I mean, we really didn't argue about much. We didn't have much to argue about. I mean, I'm sure there was an occasional thing that came up that we argued about, but I can't tell you what it is. I can't think of it.
And she was a wonderful girl and a wonderful wife. And she was a great mother. She didn't work. And she always said it was her job. Since she was privileged enough not to work, she was going to make sure she took care of me and the boys. And I mean, she did everything. She did absolutely everything. I'm sorry.
No, you have every right to do that.
I'm good. You go ahead.
That afternoon, or during the time you and Paul were running.
Yes, sir.
Did y'all go up to around the kennels or anything? Did y'all do anything up toward the kennels?
I'm sure we did. You know, that's our main shop is, you know, right there. But, you know, I mean, we're normally in there for long times tinkering. And I will say that particular day, we did not tinker around there a bunch, you know.
When y'all rode around the farm, what were y'all? Were y'all in the truck or?
Well, we were actually in two trucks. We rode in one truck and then we rode in another truck some. One was the black one and one was the white one that was out there.
Okay.
Mr. Alec.
Yes, sir.
You know, the other day when we were there, we came in and we were talking to John a little bit.
Sure.
And you obviously got a lot of, I say a lot, you said 20 or 25 weapons.
Yes, sir.
And you know kind of what you got as far as any kind of, what kind of weapons you may have?
I'm pretty much, yes, sir.
I know you might not run them all, but can you kind of run down what you have, what you got there?
That I own or that's in there now?
That you own.
All right, I own.
That's in there, you know, or wherever they're at.
And, you know, I mean, Paul has guns scattered all over the place. So, you know, some of our guns aren't there, but so you want to know all of them or you want to know what I think is in my house or what was in my house on Monday?
Yeah, what was in your house? Let's start with what was in your house on Monday.
Okay, whatever was in my house on Monday is exactly what was there, minus one shotgun that I got, that y'all got.
Okay.
No guns have been moved for, you know, there hadn't been any guns moved in and out of there other than when Paul was home. You know, when Paul came home, he would ride around and shoot hogs a lot. You know, I mean, primarily he would shoot them with Buster's gun. Because okay. Paul had a 300 blackout.
Okay.
And it got, you know, he says it got stolen. You know, and it's been gone for some time.
What did he say Paul liked to do?
This repeating what the tape says. The jury can hear the tape. And just stopping and repeating exactly what Mr. Murdoch says on the tape.
This witness was actually present, and while there is a recording, he's also fair to relate to the jury what he heard being present for that very conversation.
I overruled the objection.
Thank you.
But anyway,
and let me ask the question again. What did Mr. Murdoch tell you that Paul liked to do?
Ride around and shoot hogs.
And what did Mr. Murdoch tell you that the weapon was he used to do that?
He used his brother's 300 blackout.
So he would use his brother's blackout a lot of times.
So Buster had a 300.
I gave them both one.
Okay. When was that?
About years ago.
Okay. More than a year ago. More than a year ago.
All right, so, but he would do anything. Paul had this, you know, like a little light that I used that night. Paul would take that thing up to, you know, by 308. And I mean, he was always rigging something. you know, so. Sometimes shotguns, when he would go try to kill the hogs, because, you know, the piglets would be grouped up, but normally he would have a rifle when he went to shoot the pigs. So, all right, so going back to the guns, y'all want me to tell y'all what was in there? Or don't y'all, I mean, have an inventory?
I video that the thing. I didn't write down everything that you had. I just took a random, just like a recording of what was on the gun rack or on the gun wall in the gun room that day.
And there are some more guns that aren't in that gun room, you know. I don't know how many, but, okay. You know, like I do know there's a shotgun in my bedroom.
And I think Miss Katie, Agent Katie, bought with John and saw that one.
Okay. And I imagine there's probably some in some other rooms. I know that I think it was we have two gun cases, one small one and one big one, and I moved some guns from the little case to the big case just because, you know, her mom and dad were in there, and I just took all the guns to the back room. But that's after the fact.
Tom, could I request a brief break?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a break for about 10 minutes.
That wraps up segment number 4 of the courtroom coverage today in the Alec Murdoch case. One more segment to go as more of that video is continued to be played for the jury. We'll have it for you right here. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts as to not miss more of that. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.